You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
It's been a long time since I've heard that theme. I think the last time an Ichiban Sweetcast drop was the 29th of April, if you can believe that shit. But what it is, what's up? Welcome to the Ichiban Sweetcast. I don't even know how we do the fucking intro anymore, Curtis. Who am I? You do it. You tell everybody who they are. Tell who the fuck we are.
I had to chase a bear out of my recording studio here. Like there was just... spiders. There's spiders and spider webs everywhere.
There's always spiders in Australia. I noticed nothing different.
You have bears, lots of bears.
We have none bears. Zero.
None
koala bears. And bears, even then, not in bears. WA. Yeah, exactly. The closest thing we've got bears is great white sharks, and there's a lot of them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
But hey, what's up? We're the Ichiban Sweetcast, the sweetest cast, where we talk about hopefully things that don't try specifically to piss us off in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm your good friend, Curtis Spears. That right there, that's your bad friend, Rafe Houston. And we are back, baby. We found a way back into this fucking studio.
Yeah, so for anybody that's listening, maybe it's your first time listening, or maybe you've even forgotten what this show is because we haven't recorded in like half a year, but we're two guys from opposite ends of the world. I'm recording live right now from Perth, Western Australia, and Curtis, despite that luxurious chocolatey American tone, is actually based out of London in the UK.
Chocolatey.
So despite our 7 hours difference and our incredibly busy lives, we try and, you know, fit in an episode to talk about New Japan occasionally. We haven't done well at that this year. To be honest, that's what we want to talk about today. So we're not going to break down a show specifically or anything like that. But we are going to talk a bit.
We will.
We will. But we're not going match for match. Nobody's got fucking time for that, especially weeks later. But we've really struggled with our fandom this year. I think that's pretty fair to say. I mean, there's been some lean years and there's been some troubles. And we've documented that on the show when we've been speaking about it. But we have struggled, like, not only in how busy our lives are, but then also our interest. And to give you an example, like, I have been podcasting since 2019, so that's a few years now. And when I first started my podcast, Faces and Feels, which still exists, again, very slowly, a lot like the Ichiban Sweetcast, my very first episode was called Where to Start with New Japan. And it was just talking about my fandom of New Japan. You could rewind all to that and hear how excited I was about the company. And then at the first, as I came up to the G1 Climax that year, I did a series called G Wondering, where I did a review for every single night of the G1 Climax. Then a couple of years later, myself and Curtis were paired up on the Super J-Cast to guest host it, and we became friends. And then the great guys at Countout Network, shout out to Ryan, reached out and was like, you guys were really entertaining together. You got great chemistry. Why don't you do your own New Japan show? And we were like, maybe we will. We get on great. We had a wicked time teaming up. And we did that. And even in leading up to that, after we did it the first time, Curtis came on my show just to talk about the New Japan Cup. And then we started our own show. At that time, it was called Okada Shorts. And then when Okada left to go to AEW, it didn't feel right to have a New Japan show that was all had Okada's name in it. We thought he was never going to leave. So we renamed ourselves to the Ichiban Sweetcast. Now, this year is the first G1 I haven't even watched since then. And, you know, I'd been watching for years prior to starting my podcast. You know, New Japan kind of made me want to start a podcast. So this is the first year that I didn't watch the G1. I think I only watched the final. How about you, Curtis? Like, you didn't really follow it either? Like, maybe dropped in a few things?
I watched a couple of matches. I had, like, for a bit there, I didn't have my New Japan World set up for a month.
Or you let your subscription lapse.
My subscription actually, yeah, it lapsed. And I was just like, oh, well.
Yeah, wow.
Didn't even bother to turn it on for a month. And then when it automatically renewed the next month, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I should probably watch that again if I'm paying for it.
Wow.
It's not anything that, like, it's a storyline's bad or anything like that. But I think it was just the fact that we were having trouble with a talent exodus. Mm-hmm. And we were excited about things being built back up. Like, we were excited for the rise of Goto. Mm-hmm. We were excited for what they were doing with the younger guys. And we were looking for those silver linings. That's the show. Like, when we first started the show, I wanted the show to be a popular show, but I wanted it to be real. I wanted it for us to be not, what's the word I'm looking for? Not like depressing, not dour, not focusing on the bad things, but I wanted us to be where people came for the good stuff.
Yeah. And we were like not wanting to be those guys like ragging on everything on the internet. We wanted to be, you know, focusing on the things that made us happy, not overanalyzing it, and being a good place where anybody could just jump in and sort of catch the vibes of New Japan, right? And where we found ourselves at, like, you know, the start of this year, even like it's been a bit of rough going, is like, man, we're just, every time we are on the, we're like popping off, right? Like, we went through having ultimate faith in the company, like, it's fine, they can take the fucking stars, Nuge makes them, the West takes them, it's fine, we've always got something else done, and they're like, you know, the booking plans are there, and they've always got something up their sleeve and stuff. And it very quickly became they don't anymore. And they're flying by the seat of their pants, and like, the decisions they're making are not ones that I enjoy. They're not ones I would make. I'm not really seeing the logic. Things aren't feeling well thought out or thought through. Opportunities missed. And we were just like, why do we even fucking watch this? Because it's making us
the
miserable.
Thing that did it for me, the one thing that made me just go, oh, fuck you, was the world heavyweight title changing to a Western star. A Zack Sabre Jr. wins over Goto in a surprise match in a show not available outside of Japan.
Yeah. That was annoying.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck right off.
Yeah.
Like, when I heard that, because I was like, oh, well, it's, you know, like, it's not on New Japan World. It's not available outside of Japan at all.
Yeah.
So it's not like one of those shows where you pay a little bit extra on World and you can watch the show right away, or you can wait 2 weeks and you just can't
ever see it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they put it up there. They put it up there afterwards, but like, Nuge is so anti like social media and stuff like that, that like they won't let us have GIFs, but then they won't even let us watch the fucking match.
Yeah.
And your world heavyweight championship changes hands.
Yeah.
Eat an entire bag of shit.
Yeah. And when you've already got so many and a very well documented beef with the decisions they've made with the app, like the old app was not perfect by any means, but it did everything. You know what I mean? I wasn't one of those people that's like, oh, I wanted to see more. I was just happy with it because it just worked, right? And then they made all the changes to the new thing, and it's like the back catalog's gone, the streaming isn't good, the way it lays out isn't organic, and it just like, you go to watch a show and you can't just hit play and watch all, you've got to play every match individually, and just all these tiny little things, and like all the promises they made, like you'll be able to download matches onto your device to watch them when you're out of internet and blah, blah, blah. Like, none of it happened. Like, and so we've been at kind of a levered with the company for a while, and every time I watch it, it just feels like a fucking mission to do it. I feel like I'm working so hard to watch it and to try and like get it on my device or stream on the thing. Like the only way it plays well is if I get my laptop, plug that into the wall, run a HDMI cable into my TV and then like play it off my internet browser. Like that's the only way it works. I can't just like, you know, cast it from my phone like I can any other app like YouTube and shit because it just doesn't work and it fucking fucks up and like all this stuff happens. And I'm just like, it's not enjoyable. And I am a super busy person in my work life and in my real life and all the things I do and the hobbies I try and maintain and all that stuff. And I'm like,
and this, convenience.
It just feels like a chore. Like it's supposed to be a fun thing that I do and I want to pop it on and just watch it. But it's like, now I've got a whole fucking song and dance to do. I just don't watch it. Like
you're going out of your way to watch this company that it's hard for you to watch anyway. If you wanted to, you could just pop on the WWE Network or like an AEW like streaming service or I whatever, mean, and it would be fine.
Fucking WWE's way for these on guys. It's in my Netflix for free. Every show they do. I can just press play on Netflix. Like my remote on my fucking TV has a Netflix button. So I can press Netflix, it comes up, and then I can watch WWE without even trying. Me as a kid would have killed for that. You know, like I was going to VHS stores and shit, like, you know, Blockbuster and stuff and getting the signing up and being like, can you put WrestleMania 13 aside for me when it gets released in 3 months and then I'm on a waiting list and shit like that? I would have killed for the convenience and now I don't even watch that. And it's just like, it's,
we've made our thoughts about the apps well known in the past. Yeah. That's a, we have an entire brother.
Oh, I just remembered something. The Disney Plus subscription went up and we went, fuck it, we're not really watching anything on it anyway. Cancelled it. And I just realized that's how I watch AEW. So I don't watch AEW anymore. And I haven't even noticed.
Well, you're going to have to start watching AEW if you want to see your IWGP World fucking Heavyweight Champion.
Well, okay. So that's a perfect segue and I appreciate you for that. So what has pulled us out of the closet? What's got the mothballs dusted off and us riled up and stuff? We're going to talk about King of Pro Wrestling. And we're going to talk about just a general vibe of the show as our first show that we watched in a while. I did jump into a bit of Destruction, but only because I thought that was the show we were talking about. And then I figured out King of Pro Wrestling was the day. And I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't even know I thought I was watching this one. Anyway, I quite liked what I watched there. So anyway, yeah, let's not bury the lead. So at King of Pro Wrestling, I got to tell you, I was – when I heard who were the finalists of G1, I was both excited and concerned because I do agree. I think Takeshita is like one of the best in the world and I love the idea of him being the New Japan champion. Problem, he's not New Japan exclusive. He's an AEW wrestler, he's a DDT wrestler. And he does like a lot of time with AEW. And if he wins the title, then that means that belt's going to be over on TV. And we've seen how that has been treated before. Moxley had it. Next minute he's like wrestling powerhouse Hobbs on a Dynamite for it and stuff. And just the prestige gets a little bit tarnished. That said, I've had a think about it. I've had some time to simmer down, especially over the few months that I haven't even really watched it. And I've kind of decided a couple of things. First of all, they already spat on their own legacy when they took away the V4 and reset it into this world belt. So I guess it don't fucking matter. It's not like they're wrestling for that belt. You know what I mean? With the side plates, with the whole business and things like that. Plus, if I've cancelled my Disney Plus, I can't watch it anyway. So really, I don't know that it's happened and it doesn't really matter or affect me. Second, after watching the match, which was great, I think Zach and Takeshita
really good.
Are great together. I got to thinking about it and I really liked the way Takeshita carried himself afterward. I liked how he's like, there's no point complaining and booing. You've got nobody to blame but yourselves. He's basically saying New Japan deserves a real world champion and so does the world. And I'm going to show everybody what it is because I'm the best. And this kind of like, heel, like sort of, I don't really care. I'm the best. He's not hamming it up. He's not being evil. He's not doing anything. He's just like, I'm inevitable. This is what it is. You can't blame anybody but yourself. They let me in here and I'm the best and that's what's going to happen. I did like that. Don't love Rocky with him, but that's fine. I did like the story that Rocky posted, though. Did you read that? There's no way you read that tweet. You're not on Twitter.
No, absolutely not.
Nor would you care what he had to say, but let me just find it real quick. Maybe you could start to vamp on your thoughts and feelings, and then we'll come back around. Oh, wait. Have I already found it? No, I haven't. Hang on. You go.
I crashed out hard because I took immediately to social media. And so I have Wrestling Threads and Wrestling Blue Sky are both very AEW centric, very AEW centric. And I put on there like, hey, guys, you know, I'm a New Japan fan. I see my belt for the second time on an AEW wrestler. And I'm crashing out over it. Mm. Talk me down from this ledge right here. Mm. And everyone's like, it's fine. What are you worried about? He's great. Yeah, I know he's fucking great.
It's not him I'm worried about. It's the booking.
Yeah. What's the problem of having it on AEW television? That's really good for the company. Was it good when Moxley did it?
No.
Was it good when Kenny Omega was the US champion for 6 months and you saw that belt once?
Yeah. Or when Jericho was the Intercontinental champion, and like he took it everywhere with him, just not New Japan because we didn't see the motherfucker for half a year.
It's not just that Takeshi is not good. If I say Takeshi is not good, I am fucking lying. Or I've been kidnapped and I'm trying to signal to someone. I'm like, I'm saying it while I'm blinking furiously, you know?
Yeah.
Like if I ever say that shit, it's because my brain's been taken over.
Yeah.
Now it's not anything to do with Takeshita. It's not anything to do with the belt. It's not anything to do with anything except for the fact that I do not trust another company to book my fucking world heavyweight champion.
Mm.
Like, why do I have to watch another company to see my world heavyweight champion? A company that I don't enjoy watching.
Mm.
Oh, it's good. It's good for fucking who?
Yeah.
For AEW?
I mean, it's only really good for AEW talent in the way that they get to have title shots against the IWGP champion, is how I view it. Like the younger guys that Takeshita's going to beat, but these guys are getting IWGP title shots that they would never get in real life. Like,
well, I'm really excited for Luchasaurus.
Yeah, exactly. Powerhouse Hobbs, two-time IWGP challenger, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff is...
And it's not like AEW doesn't have some of the best talent and contenders in the world.
No, there's people I would like to go
after that belt.
I mean, he's injured. So
Kenny Omega going to go up for that fucking belt? Is
hopefully Carl Fletcher does though.
When this evil got fucking put on me by my good friend Booze Leprechaun. Yeah. When Booze Leprechaun said to me, Takeshi's going to drop the belt to Okada at an AEW pay per view. I said, you cunt. How dare you put that shit into the fucking universe?
That's some juju right there. She shouldn't be throwing that around. That is dark. Dark.
They changed the belt on a show I couldn't watch, and I fucking threw my toys directly out of the crib and didn't watch their fucking show for 4 months. If that happens again, worse. Like that, oh my god, we've just gone from Godzilla to Mecha Godzilla. Nah, son, I'm done. I'm done watching wrestling.
Well, here's another thought for you because I found that tweet, and so let's have a chat about it because there is something to be said about the potential storytelling here. Because much like Zach did, Takeshita called his G1 title shot at King of Pro Wrestling and not at Wrestle Kingdom. So whether this is an ongoing trend now that's going to happen, I don't know. But that you could look at it like, okay, so Takeshita won the title at King of Pro Wrestling because they want him to lose it at Wrestle Kingdom. Or maybe he goes like Zach and just defends it 100 times over thing. But I think that's probably the go. And Goto was called his shot. I don't know if Zach's back in the picture. I don't know if they're bringing anybody else. But Rocky Romero posted this after the win. He said, you know what the biggest mistake New Japan ever made was? Not accepting Konosuke Takeshita into the dojo. That's right. His dream was just to compete here and they turned him away. And now he stands as your IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. The man New Japan rejected is better than every single wrestler on this roster. That's the real slap in the face to every so-called New Japan fan. Hiroki Goto, he'll fail like he always has. He's a loser. He's always been a loser. Goto finally won at 45. But Takeshita, he became champion at 30. That's the difference. That's the truth. And deep down, New Japan fans are furious because they know it. Takeshita is greater than everyone in New Japan. And that's the story they're actively telling, because that's a tweet in character, whatever, is this is the man that was rejected by New Japan. He's come back. He's taken the title. Now who can take it back from him? And that in itself is interesting if they do it well. If they, you know, he continues to do those regular dates, if it's not like, you know, one of those absent champions like your Brock Lesnar's, you know, Kenny's, you know, guys like that who just have the belt and then disappear and don't even use on the thing. If they are truly telling the best wrestler in the world story, he's actively defending around the world, conquering hero, and then the New Japan face, you know, has to pull it back off him. That can be done well. The question is, who is that person? Because like Rocky says in this thing, I love Goto, but he 45. You know what I mean? And he's also somebody that they were actively rehabilitating after treating him as the bridesmaid and never the bride for his entire career. And then when everybody else left from his class, they're like, well, he is actually still the best wrestler here, so maybe we'll do something with him. But even then, they had him win the title and then they had him drop it only on Japanese TV. So are they is that the story? Is Goto going to win the big one back at Wrestle Kingdom and solidify himself? Did he only lose that on Japanese TV because they didn't want the Western fans who assume he's a loser anyway to even see him lose? Like, what are they telling here?
You know, that's that tweet. Like, as you were reading it, I was kind of find myself going like, yeah, this is good. This is good already. Like, it's kind of sad that Rocky has to like fucking absolutely spoon feed it to you.
But, he does there, but to be fair, I mean, commentary were saying that was the same kind of message that we were getting from Walker, you know, that we're getting from Chris Charlton. That was the sort of thing they were saying. Like, and even when they translated, you know, what Takeshita was saying and stuff, it was that you have nobody to blame but yourselves. You let me in here and you're all fucking losers. I am the best. Are we even surprised that I'm the winner? Is basically what he's saying. I don't want to hear the crowd booing. I don't really care what they think. If you've got a problem with it.
And I love that.
And he was like, if anybody in the back's got a problem, they can come out and they can try and take it from me. That's what he said. And then Goto came out and they had that brief stare down and he told him to fuck off. But
if,
essentially
if he's there, if he's there to put that story forward, I'm in. If that's the story they want to tell, that's great, but he has to be there to tell the story.
And the concern is, and our concern is not that he wants to be there. He very clearly wants to work for New Japan, but he has another master. And it has been proven that in the ongoing relationship between AEW and New Japan, AEW comes first, right? They always get their way. Tony always gets his way. So does it get fucked up before it can get done properly because he needs something or cancels something or moves something or whatever? Or can they actually see it done? Is it all locked in paper? Have New Japan learned from their mistakes and they've gone, we need these dates. It's going to be this. This is what's going to happen. It's going to benefit you too because he's going to look better. You know, what's it going to be? But I think Takeshita is really invested. He's invested in everything he does. But, yeah, can they pull it off and can they do it well? And who at the end of the day benefits from a victory over Takeshita's champion. And do you put that on, do you give that to Goto at 45? Do you give it to Zach to continue his already, you know, pretty big legacy? Or do you elevate somebody new?
It's gotta be someone new, right? As much as we love Goto and Goto being the wall, mm-hmm. and we were down for that, like,
oh, I mean, that was a gimmick that we wrote though. Like, yeah. Like New Japan never said that shit. We said it and we projected on him quite heavily. But yes, we viewed Goto as like the last defense of New Japan. And then if people wanted to take it over, the kids wanted to rise up, they had to climb the wall. That was him. So do you – well, I mean, let's play it out. So say – but the other thing that I want to point out to you as well is the timing, right? So yes, the belt is not going to be actively on TV that much leading up to Wrestle Kingdom. But – at this time of year, it never really is, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Automatically, it's gone for 2 months anyway. So, you've got Super Junior Tag League and World Tag League.
That timing kind of works out too, because you go, okay, so he loses the belt. He fucks off for a while. Okada used to sit at home this time of year anyway, whatever it was. Takeshita can do all his stuff and that, and then come back like the conquering hero for Wrestle Kingdom, or villain, however you want to look at it. Opposed to it being taken away in the middle of the year or something like that, the timing is sort of pretty well thought out as well.
Yeah, and it's funny that also the only thing that I'm really looking forward to right now at this moment in New Japan is the tag scene, uh-huh. because the boys are back.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
let's try and look for a silver lining in this. Who do you think would benefit the most from beating Takeshita at Wrestle Kingdom to take that title away?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like we said, Goto is obviously a choice. I think it would kind of solidify him and in a lot of ways, you know, erase some of the midness that they've given him for his entire career. It'd definitely be his crowning moment and potentially, you know, put a crown on somebody that's never going to leave New Japan. You know, the guys who have been at the top for so long, like Okada and Naito and stuff, are all completely gone. So New Japan suffers in that they have no legacy dudes. Like, there's nobody left. And they already fucked off all the dads and everything to have like all these new guys. So they've really got not many people on the roster that carry that legacy with them. Of like the New Japan of old, but Goto was there. He was through it all. So I think they've really realized what they have in him. And they're like, we need to make sure that he is like respected and viewed as like the elder statesman and victorious and dangerous and all those things. And the great thing about Goto is he is 45, but he can still go. He's in great condition. He looks exactly the same as he fucking did when I first started watching him, like, you know, 10 years ago. Like, he's just the same dude. So I think he would be the most logical choice, right? The other choice is you flip it back to Zach. But I don't think Zach really needs it now. No. You know what I mean? He's so valuable. He's so good. But he also, like, he just did this dance, like, last year. He won the G1. He called his shot. He won it. He walked into a Wrestle Kingdom, defended it for 2 nights. You know, like, they gave him everything. First Gaijin to win, like, fucking both tournaments and also defend the belt at Wrestle Kingdom. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they've loaded him up and they've made it very clear that he's a top guy in their eyes. So he doesn't really need any more shining, like, I don't think. So the guys that you want to look at, I think, are who we've said. I think now it is interesting the timing of, I don't know if they jump him straight into the world title picture, But it is interesting that they have now lifted the global title off Gabe Kidd. excuse me. Jeez, cough button. Use it. Didn't know I was going to cough. Have they pulled that global belt off him just because it's story? Because they want to free him up to start putting him in a position for bigger things, or because of all his extracurricular work in other companies, he maybe made a choice where he doesn't want to renew. And so we don't really know where he stands. I don't know if you've heard any rumors in regards to that. But
I haven't heard anything about it. I don't. One of the responses I got as I was crashing out about this, right after it happened, was, well, if New Japan would just make their own stars, then this wouldn't be a problem, which made me want to just absolutely choke someone.
Like, that's
okay.
That person doesn't know anything about wrestling and they're not even worth being spoken to.
Yeah, they made stars. Yeah. Mm. They've made lots of stars.
Yeah.
You watch them a lot.
Yeah. You get to see them all. You watch all lots the time. Of those stars. The problem is they just took them all and they haven't had time to build them again.
Yeah. And you know, the idea of them, like Gabe, like flirting with New Japan or flirting with AEW after saying that he was Mr. New Japan the last few years. The last year or so?
It undid it for me as like a New Japan fan. I felt like everything he was saying and all his blood, sweat, and tears and all of those things, it all just ended up ringing false and fake. And I felt
really bad.
It did, like, and especially in a time where he's, you know, he's going on new programs, he's like, AEW's where nerds girl who don't know how to kiss a girl and blah, 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 and all this shit. And then he's like working for John Moxley, who was like an AEW guy, and he's just a hired goon basically. And like, hang it. Like, I didn't get it. And also,
it just,
like,
makes it feel so fucking fake.
And Mox has been like an enemy of like the War Dogs and Bullet Club forever. Like, he's never been aligned to them. So it doesn't even really make sense. Like, we're in a tentative alliance and he's, you know what, like, it just didn't even fit. It was like, Mox thinks he's cool, put him in sort of deal. And it just really undid the magic for me. And I can't look at him the same. It's gone now. You know what I mean? Because it felt so real. And over on We Work Stiff, I remember, you know, leading up to a lot of that stuff and when all that stuff first started happening, before Wrestle Kingdom, I remember Dave and Josh being like, I wonder if he's like sitting there in his hotel in, you know, Tokyo being like, I fuck this. Like, even if it wasn't his choice, like, I should have stood up myself. I should have found a way to make it work. I shouldn't have done this or whatever. But it's like, but I've broken what I created. Like, and yeah, he really felt like a modern day, like I hadn't felt about a wrestler like him since Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's like heavy praise, but that's what it felt like, you know? And just that being undone for me, I was like, oh, and then the magic's gone again. And I think maybe my entire fandom is just me hunting for that feeling, like that magic, like a dude to believe in and just suspend disbelief and just really get into it. And I was like, oh, fuck, it's gone. There it was.
Yeah. And you almost had magic.
Yeah.
You almost had lightning in a bottle.
And fucking motherfuckers would be like, oh, you know, just not that serious. Fucking blah, blah, blah. And he can be in both places. He's got to make money. And yes, all of those things are true, but it doesn't fucking dispel the fact that when I would watch him on New Japan, I felt like he was my fucking dude in a time when all of my favorite wrestlers had already been taken away. And I was like, oh, here's somebody I can really believe in. And he makes me feel like he actually hates these other companies and that I can spend disbelief and believe that professional wrestling is real for a little bit. I can pretend to. And it's gone. And now I don't really feel it anymore. And then I don't watch.
That's 100% it.
Yeah.
There's a reason I watch New Japan, and that's to be able to say, I watch the best wrestling in the world.
Mm.
I believe that this is the best wrestling in the world, and I just don't.
No. Not right now.
I just don't.
No. And it's tough trying to summon up the energy to do a New Japan-centric podcast when you don't believe that. But that also goes for my other show, because at the end of the day, just wrestling in general has burnt me out in like a lot of ways. And so it's very hard when you're already busy, when you have very little time to yourself and you can choose how to spend those, you know, couple of hours that you have a week to yourself. And you're like, I'm not sure that this fucking, whatever this thing is that I really enjoy is something I enjoy anymore. And New Japan holds a part of the blame
that's
for that.
Time
yeah.
I could be painting minis. That's time I could be going out to eat with my friends. That's time I could be watching movies I've never seen before. I choose to spend money, time, energy, and brain processing power on New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Mm.
And New Japan Pro Wrestling thanks me by saying, go watch another company.
Yeah. And also, we're still not going to like, and I know these are maybe like New Japan's leaner years and things like that, but you don't help yourself when it's like, and also we're going to be really hard to watch. And every time that you put on the stream, despite you being signed in as English, it will default to Japanese. And then you've got to go in and change the captions over to English, and then it rebuffers again. And then you go, and this may sound like tiny little things to whinge about, and they are, they're huge nitpicks, but guess what, when you have done watched this company for this long, when you have so little time, and when every single time you try and watch it you have to do these little fucking bullshit things, it just gets too hard. It's just like another roadblock, you know, to me turning it on, and that's it, you know, like, oh, maybe I'll just put on the matches while I've gotten up at 5 a.m. I'm preparing my wife's lunch and breakfast and things like that while she's getting ready and things like that. Maybe I'll just snap on a New Japan episode. No, it's not that fucking easy, because I can't just turn it on my phone and cast it to the thing. It's not going to work, and it's not going to play all the way through and things like that. Okay, I can't just select an app on my smart TV like I do for every other streaming service, because they don't have that. Oh, what do I want to do? I need to go get my laptop from the bag, make sure I've got a charger, run the HDMI cable, all of that. Guess what? It's already fucking time for her to go to work. You know what I mean? Like by the time that's done. So it's not a quick, easy thing to do. It's like I need to set up my life in order to do it. And so that is where it becomes too hard.
And it just feels like they don't appreciate what you're going through.
No, I know they don't appreciate it.
Like I am actively trying.
Yeah.
I'm actively trying to watch your company, and you are telling me to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go elsewhere, man.
And for the record,
I don't want to watch AEW. I want to watch fucking New Japan.
Exactly. And for the record, like, if you're listening to this, like, oh man, this fucking guy's whinging, he can't be that big a fan if he has a... My brother in Christ, I have flown to Japan and I have watched New Japan. Many times. I've been to like 4 or 5 Wrestle Kingdoms. I've been to Sakura Genesis. I've been to fucking I've been to the Kurikan shows. I've been to the shows outside of Tokyo in like a backwater New Beginning show. Like, I have paid my fucking dues to this company. I've spent thousands of dollars on merch. I've been subscribed to their streaming service for like 10 plus years. Even while I haven't enjoyed it, like, since April and I haven't watched it, I didn't cancel my subscription. They still get my money. You know what I mean? I've spoken about this company for fucking years in free promotion on podcasts, on my show, on this show. I've interviewed New Japan wrestlers. I'm friends with New Japan wrestlers. I love this fucking company, but they've just made it so hard for me in the way that my life is right now and how busy I am as a 40-plus-year-old working human with a wife, you know, like they just make it so hard for me to enjoy it. And then the least they could fucking do is give me a decent storyline and maybe my champion on TV. You know what I'm saying?
And then like, oh, well, you know, he's going to raise the prestige of that title. We didn't need to raise the prestige of the title.
Guess what?
You
we
put
didn't
the best wrestlers in our fucking show and people will come to them.
Also, we didn't need the prestige fucking race because we had the fucking best title of all time. The V4 was the greatest belt. The prestige was so fucking like the who's who of Japanese wrestling forever. And then they reset it. And then now you're telling me that Sonata's the longest reigning fucking world champion of all time.
Ugh.
That's the legacy. You know what I mean? Like they wanted to have a belt that they could flip and do more exciting stuff with and shit like that and not tread on that legacy. Bitch, where? And you took the Intercontinental Championship as well and you merged them together into this bullshit and created this. But then guess what? You just bowed down to pressure and you went and made another white belt anyway. So everything's exactly the fucking same except you destroyed the legacy of your titles. That's all you did.
Fucking, it's silliness, man.
That's all you did. I've held the fucking V4 in real life. I can see a picture of me right now standing next to Ricardo with it on my shoulder. And that is the heaviest belt I've ever held. And let me tell you, the weight wasn't the fucking belt. It was the legacy that was built into it. It was infused with the spirits of every fucking warrior that held it before him. It's getting me pissed off. As I fight with imaginary critics on the internet.
Yeah, let's pre-argue.
Don't you dare judge me, you motherfuckers. So
we've gone from the legendary title, the IWGP heavyweight title that people would come to Japan to fight for, mm-hmm. to now people taking and running away. Like it's like we're already not going to have our champion on TV for 2 months. Okay. Normally we don't have our champion on TV for 2 months at this point anyway. Mm-hmm. It's fine, whatever, mm-hmm. you know. Cool. But goddamn, dude, like the one thing I'm actually like interested in right now is the New Japan tag team scene.
Yeah. So let's just
who the fuck tell me that, you know, 5 years ago, if I told you oh, you're going to love the New Japan tag team scene.
That's cooked. That's a cooked statement, especially leading into World Tag League as well. That's never happened. I mean, there has been times we've been into it. When TMDK were back and holding it, that's cool. But my question is, can they keep it running? Because at the moment we're interested in the New Japan tag team because we're interested in the KO brothers. We are invested in them. We watch them from young lions. You know what I mean? We watch them go away. We watch them become real men. They come back and there's a lot of charisma and a lot of good things happening with them. Even in the like weird, what are they called? Unlisted, underrated, ex.
Unaffiliated
and War Dogs business. When they're all shaking hands, they stood back and things like that. And Yudo Iceman, like when we first met him as a young lion and stuff, and I met him in real life, is a very sweet dude, but like his charisma since his comeback is next level. And like you see him, like after that whole segment, they finally convince him to shake hands and he does his shit and he walked out and the camera's underneath him low as he's walking out in the attitude and stuff. And I was like, is this the future leader of the Bullet Club? Like, is this the fucking guy? Because we didn't realize he was the guy when he's just like an Afro-wielding like young lion. But there is something very special about him. And it's so interesting, don't you think, that when wrestlers are coming up and, you know, doing the indies and stuff, that everybody's so focused on who's the best, you know, physical wrestler, technical, high flyer and things like that. What a difference charisma makes.
Yeah, but.
You know what I mean? It's like people forget, right? These jocks get so caught up in the moves and everything like that, they forget that it's an entertainment business. And some of the most entertaining wrestlers don't have to be the most spectacular fucking dudes. Yudo ain't doing anything crazy in the ring. He's good. He's solid. He's fucking got some great strikes. Their finishes are brutal. You know what I mean? And they're just no fuck around. And I got to tell you, man, fucking his partner, Like, I didn't really think much of Oscar. He seemed a little bit timid, you know, when he was a young lion. I was like, oh, he's kind of tall and stuff. And he's still finding it and finding the look. He's not quite as there with Yuto and shit like that. But he fucking lays it in, dude. He's pretty talented, I think. You know, he's come through some leg drops and some fucking things. He was making the saves. He was looking like the monster. And I was like, these dudes have it. And they called their shot. They're like, we want to be together, like right from when they were young lions. You know what I mean? They paired themselves up because they're legit friends. And they're only babies right now, and they're already one of the most interesting things in the company. And so a few years down the track, fucking imagine where they're going to be.
Oh, man, it's going to be awesome.
It's very exciting. Yeah.
It's so exciting. And like, being able to say, like, I was there, like, watching their, you know, first matches as young lions. I was there seeing them on Excursion. Fucking, you know, I was there when they came back. I'm here now rooting for them, like, following their whole journey is one of the coolest parts about being a New Japan fan.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that we've got something that's exciting with the young lions right now. You know, like, I'm still amped for Yota Tsuji. I think if we're going to talk about who could take the belt from Takeshita, could be Yota Tsuji.
He was looking,
he's got the white belt right now, but we'll see.
Yeah, he was looking real good. I was really into Tsuji when he first came back, and then I've been real flat on him for a while. But by the end of that match with Gabe, and afterwards, and the way he held himself and the confidence, and then when he was speaking to Tanahashi and stuff afterwards, I was like, I'm starting to feel him again. I'm starting to get there. I do think he needs to swap back to the trunks, though. In the replay, they showed him in the trunks when he beat old mate before. And I was like, that's a fucking more professional-looking Tsuji. Had together the trunks, but the, like, the boots with tassels. I reckon that was a pretty cool look.
Yeah, trunks, boots, tassels, long, wild
Tatanka
hair.
Tatanka spec. Yeah, yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's the shit. That's the good shit.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, I've been sitting here screaming into this microphone at some point today, and now, just now, you and I sitting here talking about this, I'm smiling.
Yeah,
I'm smiling and I'm having fun.
Yeah.
So maybe we've done the right thing by getting back together today and saying
maybe we have.
You know, like
maybe it feels good to spew it out. Do you want to finish up? Maybe we'll quickly just talk about what the Super Junior tag looks like. We'll just quickly run through the announcements.
Fucking
like on Hoso.
Weird ass pairings.
The weird ass pairings. Yeah, yeah. Let's just do that. There's a thing here, real quick, an article. So let's run through these and then we'll call it that. And then we'll try to do another podcast sooner than 4 months from now. So
yeah, maybe we'll light the world on fire with this one, and everyone will say,
"Fuck!
Oh my God, I missed you guys."
Can't imagine anybody's going to listen besides Dave from WeWork Stiff. But shout out Dave; he's the only person who regularly requests us to record an episode. So
we love you and your beautiful, luscious, flowing hair.
Yeah, we do. A block. So first team: House of Torture, Doki, and Sho. Nothing weird there.
Awesome.
Don't know if we've screamed about it on the podcast, but Doki going back to heel when he was the hottest babyface in the company was stupid, but that's fine. Skateboard Bros, Taguchi and Dragon Dyer are back together again. Can't imagine that Taguchi knows how to skateboard. No, nor can I imagine that Dragon Dyer is fucking stoked to be once again tag team with Suzuki Taguchi and not actually doing anything good. Yo and Master Wato. They work together. United Empire, can't believe they're still a faction, but Templario and Jacob Austin Young. I don't think either of these guys have been in Super Junior Tag before.
No.
Yeah. Either way, I'll be
Templario we've seen many times with when coming over for Fantascomania and things like that.
Yeah, but just not in United Empire, not in a tag situation. Okay, then one of the first of the weird pairings is Clark Connors and Daiki Nagai. And so he's another guy who is – I missed it all because we haven't been watching, but he has essentially been another young lion that was elevated into a faction. So he's a member of the unaffiliated faction with the ex-LIJ guys. And much like Zack Sabre Jr. was grabbing a lot of young lions and elevating them into TMDK and stuff, this has been done with him. So I haven't even seen him wrestle besides young lion matches, so I'll be interested to see what
he's been
has to offer.
Elevated into a faction that
doesn't
is not a faction.
Really exist. So yeah, exactly.
Congratulations.
Then in the most insane pairing of all time.
Save that one.
Yeah.
Save that one.
But that's the last one of Block A.
Oh, okay.
So we kind of got to do it, but it's Hiromu Takahashi and Kato.
Fucking what?
Exactly. What the fuck? So anyway, that just kind of rides off like their buds and Gato wants to wrestle with him. But there you go. That's crazy. But that again, that's that War Dogs unaffiliated alliance that we're seeing.
How is Clark still technically a junior?
I mean, he's a small man.
But he's
a jacked man. Yeah. I don't know. But he is shorter. But yeah, he's great. Next up, Block B starts off with the Ichiban Sweet Boys, Robbie Eagles and Jose Fujita. We love the Sweet Boys. Then Bullet Club War Dogs, Taiji Ishimori and Robbie X. They were both together last year. Then we have El Desperado and Kukai with his debut entry, and I believe he is a Dragon Gate wrestler, also with Mexican roots. So be interested to see what that's all about. Then we have Tiger Mask is back. Fuck, I spoke too quick about there being no dads left in New Japan. Tiger Mask and Yamato. Dragon Gate. Was I right about Kukai being Dragon Gate? Oh, no, Michinoku Pro. Kukai is Michinoku Pro and Japanese Demail. Okay. Anyway, so Tiger Mask and Yamato from Dragon Gate. And then we've got Kushida and Yuki Yoshioka, who is also another wrestler from Dragon Gate. So obviously Kushida's partner went to AEW and is now teamed up with Speedball Mike Bailey. And then House
that of... That should be a fucking team,
oh,
man.
I mean, they are a team just in AEW. So.
In AEW. Yeah. Fuck.
And then House of Torches, next entry is Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Dick to Go. I'll take my Dick to Go.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. So there you go. How you feeling about it? You interested?
I think that could have definitely been a single block tournament with maybe a third of those guys cut out.
Sure.
But all right. So big hitters here. Obviously, we've got the Sweet Boys.
Mm-hmm. Robbie Eagles being the only. So who is so. Oh, no, there's a few. Well, what am I talking about? Yo, Robbie Eagles is the only Australian. But, yeah, we've got Jacob Austin Young, Clark Connors, Robbie Eagles, and Robbie X, the only Gaijin wrestlers in the tournament.
So big hitters. Really, like, you're looking at Yo and Watto.
Yeah.
Ichiban Sweet Boys.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Sho and Doki could be
Ishimori and Robbie X. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sho and Doki.
Yeah. I would think of the main ones that stand a chance to win the thing. Yeah.
Is this just another crowning achievement for TMDK?
It'd be very nice, but I don't know. I could see you coming down to like a TMDK House of Torture final.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
They love They love to have Yo and Master Wato win shit, though.
Well, Master Wato's awesome, so deal with it.
Yeah, sure. And so House of Torture are the current champs. And
yes, double champs because they're triple, six-man tag champs as well.
Right, okay. And then Yo and Master Wato are former champs. So then there you go. But, yes, the lads in the Ichiban Sweet Boys were the 2024 winners. So.
Yeah. It seems like they're about to repeat. It looks like a repeat. we could be completely surprised.
Well, we haven't been watching, so we don't really know the temperature, but we'll try and keep an eye on it, and we'll try to not, like, go 4 months plus without, you know, doing a podcast. I say 4 months. It's actually been 6 months. It's been half a year. So.
Oh, my God. It's been so fucking long.
It has been 6 months. Well, anyway, tell the people where to find us online if they care to have a look, and let's get out of here, and we'll talk to you all down the line.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for listening. If you're at this part of the show, just know that we really appreciate you, and you know, we're sorry that New Japan pissed us off. I'm going to go full toxic and just be like, I'm sorry that, you know, they pissed me off.
Yeah, gaslighting New Japan.
Just completely gaslighting.
Exactly. It's important to say that we didn't just not podcast because we were mad at New Japan and not watching and things like that. Because we were constantly talking about doing an episode, but we just had so much in our lives that it, like, was the furthest thing that we wanted to do. Because we're nothing's really happening.
Either good or bad.
We were just feeling, we would just like, give us a reason to do anything, basically, you know? So here we are. We've made it. We've got some social media stuff. I imagine you already know it if you're even finding this at this stage, since we're not like up in the stuff. So we appreciate that. A pretty cool sign off, though. We get to say rate and subscribe, listen or die, spirit of fight, style of strong, sweet cast.
Ichiba.
Exactly. Thank you, Curtis. Appreciate you, buddy. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good seeing you, man.
Good to see you. Good to see all of you. I hope you've enjoyed this little chat, and we'll be back. Don't worry. We can't stop fucking hanging out. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Love you guys.
Go back. Maybe next time we'll just talk about fucking comic books or something like that for 30 minutes, but whatever.
Yeah. Maybe we will. Maybe it'll be like, just change the name of the podcast and just change the topic. Either way, hopefully New Japan continues to draw us back, because one thing, good or bad, we're interested. So we'll be back.
Yeah.
All right. Peace out. Sweet cast. Ichiban.
Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network.
This has been a Countout Podcast.